You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire. Like, naked is the theme. Like, people just love getting naked.
The Supreme Court of the United States has reached international news for recent controversial judgments. These include granting Trump immunity for his role in the January 6th insurrection and the overturning of Chevron, which could have huge consequences for things like environmental protection laws. These decisions are part of a recent series of Supreme Court decisions that overturned decades of judicial and legislative progress from the 20th century, including the likes of Roe v. Wade. I speak about these recent and longer-term decisions from SCOTUS with University of Auckland History Professor Jennifer Frost. I started by asking why the recent SCOTUS rulings are so significant.
Well, I guess first, just to contextualize this, it really isn't just the most recent ones. Really, we've had several years, really even a decade, of decisions that have come down from this Supreme Court that are really reversing much of the 20th century. And I think this started even in the, kind of 2010s. And then, yes, it has picked up speed with the now 6-3 conservative majority on the court. And they're just moving through cases incredibly quickly, trying to reverse all the accomplishments, both legislatively, judicially, and in the executive branch that really has built the United States in the 21st century. So the most recent ones that you're commenting on Monday, we had the decision about the Trump immunity case, which is probably the most shocking one of all, because it essentially said that a president has absolute immunity for official acts and has probable immunity for other acts. And the only thing they don't have immunity for is unofficial acts. But then the question is, what constitutes an official act? What constitutes an unofficial act? You know, becomes a question that's going to have to be debated. And of course, this is reversing, you know, nearly 250 years of a constitution that was drafted and ratified with the explicit purpose of saying the president is not going to be a king, and that the executive branch is not going to have the powers of a king. So this is, you know, the historical information, the debates at the Constitutional Convention, everything was made it very clear that the founding fathers did not want a king, and that's why they fought the American Revolution. And now we're here at a place where the president has absolute immunity for official acts. And then, of course, how you define an official act, it's going to be quite capacious. And so that's quite frightening.
Could the Supreme Court outcome on the Trump case impact the outcome in the November presidential election?
I think, yes, I think it's going to reinforce that the choice is really between democracy and authoritarianism. I think that it has crystallized that choice, which already Democrats have been making clear that is the choice that we have. And even in the shorthand is, you know, do you want a president or do you want a king? And already Trump has said that he's going to, you know, he said it's opened a Pandora's box, was the term he used, of all the things that he could do with this immunity. And the bottom line is there's going to be no check on any president, really. The constraint of law, the constraint of democracy that has been a constraint on anybody in the Oval Office is now not going to be there. And so, you know, President Biden said the other night, commenting on this, you know, the presidency really reveals your character. But you can't assume that somebody who wins an election is going to have a character that is going to adhere to the rule of law. We've learned that with Trump. And so it really opens up, I think Trump's right, a Pandora's box of so many dangers to American democracy.
Another recent high-profile case was the overturning of Chevron. What does this mean for the precedent set for the power of federal government in the US?
Yeah, that's another really important case that came down on Friday. So it really has been just whiplash with these different decisions. So yes, this overturned the 1984 Chevron case, which gave the executive branch in the federal government, gave the administrative units some flexibility to interpret legislation passed by Congress. Because Congress, in passing its legislation, can't, you know, define every situation, every nuance, the Chevron decision gave power to the executive branch, to the different agencies, to make certain decisions that they, you know, fit within the legislation. So, you know, for example, on environmental protection, we have an Environmental Protection Act, but, you know, it doesn't lay out every chemical that is being put into the environment. And so the Chevron decision had let agencies say, oh, wait a second, here's this new, you know, chemical that's being used. This violates, you know, the part of the environmental protection. And so we're going to ban it. But under this, by overturning this, you would actually have to either get a court to say this chemical is banned, or you need to go back to Congress and get the act amended to cover that detail. So it's going to really slow down the process of the administrative state. And it's really going to be a challenge to try to address the problems that come up and we're facing and deal with them with any alacrity.
Earlier you mentioned the Supreme Court has been reversing a lot of the progress made over the 20th century. Can you speak a bit more to this?
Well, of course, the major one was the Dobbs decision in 2022, which overturned nearly 50 years of a precedent that women have the right to make decisions about their reproductive health. And that was an example of a decision which took a right that American women have assumed was theirs for 50 years and took it away. So it breaks precedent. It's removing what was understood to be a constitutional right. And I think the Dobbs decision is just a perfect example of what this court is doing in reversing these changes that have come over the 20th century that have expanded freedom for all sorts of different groups of Americans. I think the other thing that that decision really reminds us of is when you read the decision, you see that these justices, and I think it's true for the immunity decision and others, they claim they're originalists. So they claim that they're going back to the Constitution and they're strictly adhering to the Constitution, but they're not. They're dismissing historical context in the immunity decision, you know, dismissing all the debates that happened at the Constitutional Convention about the American Revolution, which was, you know, fighting a war against a king. They're dismissing historical context, and they're also dismissing contemporary matter. So, for example, just recently, we've had a couple of gun cases in 22, and then just now this year, too, where they're using a Second Amendment that is from the late 18th century to say that you can't restrict any access or regulate the kinds of guns that people or that have access to, when, you know, it in the late 18th century, they could never have imagined, as they were using muskets and rifles, that you would have bump stocks and automatic weapons that could, be killing people, instantly and so quickly. So they're dismissing historical context, they're dismissing contemporary concerns, and it shows that they are all powerful. There's nothing that the American people can do about them. They have lifetime appointments until they decide to resign. There's no check on the Supreme Court. And they're hell-bent, as I said, to reverse the 20th century. And that's also coming about at a time when at least two of the justices are corrupt. So we have Clarence Thomas, who we know has taken all sorts of money and gifts from right-wing donors. And we know Sam Alito is an ideologue and pro-MAGA, pro-Trump. And so, you know, it's hardly the judicial temperament that we would count on, that they're really weighing these, you know, constitutional issues in as a fair and objective manner as they can. They're not. They're clearly partisan. They're clearly corrupt, and they're making the decisions that they want to make. And so that has led to the American public really losing faith in their decisions of the Supreme Court. But the challenge of trying to reform the Supreme Court, trying to change the Supreme Court, it's really very challenging. And I don't see it happening anytime soon.
That links well into my next question, which was going to be, there are many people pushing back against the court's power. For example, calling for term limits on Supreme Court judges and, as you touched on, anti-corruption measures. What are your thoughts on these?
Oh, yeah, they all would be terrific. And I think, you know, the United States is, I think, one of the few places that doesn't have sort of an ethics, you know, expectation for judges at this level. Term limits would be another matter. So all of these things are really good and really important, but you have to get them through Congress. And as we know, Congress is a very convoluted institution in the United States. It's got the two houses, it's got two parties, and you just can't get things through very easily. And of course, there's constituencies and politicians who want to keep things exactly how they are because they're very happy with how it is. So, you know, there's this feeling of, I think, of paralysis for many of us, that we are not going to be able to create the kind of change that we need, you know, anytime soon with the Supreme Court. And the only possibility is obviously voting, participating in elections, and electing, representatives who will do something about the Supreme Court. But of course, the Supreme Court has very helpfully, for the opposite side, passed laws that make it harder to vote, which allow unlimited funding to candidates, etc. So it's really an incredible challenge. And, you know, it is July 4th in New Zealand, and it's going to be July 4th here tomorrow. And I think a lot of people are feeling that, you know, if we can keep this republic, if we can keep this democracy, it's going to be by, the skin of our teeth.
That was Professor Jennifer Frost on recent high-profile SCOTUS rulings.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.